Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you miss the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Every holiday shopper's got a list, but Ross shoppers, you've got a mission. Like a gift run that turns into a disco snow globe, throw pillows, and PJs for the whole family, dog included. At Ross, holiday magic isn't about spending more. It's about giving more for less. Ross, work your magic.
Black Friday savings are here at the Home Depot, which means it's time to add new cordless power to your collection. Right now, when you buy a select battery kit from one of our top brands like Ryobi or Milwaukee, you'll get a select tool from that same brand for free. Click into one of our best deals of the season and stock up on tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Well, hi there, everybody. Welcome into episode number 588 of Rico Bronya. We have labeled today's Rico Bronya, the New York Mets are blowing everything up. Actually, the phrase was from Jeff Passan, one of the better baseball reporters. The quote actually is, the Mets are blowing up plenty. The great Jeff Passan, who is probably the baseball reporter I trust the most, I think most of us trust the most, wrote a very detailed piece about MLB free agency in which the Mets were mentioned quite a bit. And the line that made me laugh was, quote, the Mets are blowing up plenty. So what we'll do on today's edition of the Rico Bronya is we'll check in on some of the latest news and notes around the New York Mets. The decision they made about Frankie Montas, the 40-man roster, and obviously all of the little mini bombs that Jeff Passan put in his piece regarding the New York Mets, with the headline being, the Mets are blowing up plenty. So we'll get to all that on this edition of the Rico Bronya. Let's start off with Frankie Montas. Frankie Montas was DFA'd. Am I surprised?
It's really a clerical thing. I mean, we knew that Frankie wasn't going to pitch this season. He needs Tommy John surgery. So when he initially had that injury, my thought, and I said this on the Rico, was at least the Mets will probably be able to collect some insurance. I even mentioned I made like a couple of requests to people that would know on how much insurance money would actually cover the contract. Well, it's irrelevant because the Mets deemed 40-man roster spots more important than keeping a guy on the 40-man roster for now who isn't going to pitch. So they decided to just write a fat check to Frankie Montas to make it go away. It makes sense. I mean, you could sit here nickel and diming on insurances, but the truth is the 40-man roster decisions that were made on Tuesday are very important. There are guys you needed to add to the 40-man so that they weren't eligible to be lost for nothing in the Rule 5 draft. The guy they added was Nick Morabito, one of their outfield prospects who played in AA last year. The rules are players between 4 and 5 years of minor league service time need to be added to the 40-man roster or they become eligible for the Rule 5 draft. So guys like Morabito were eligible. Some other prospects aren't. So the two guys that are now that weren't added to the 40-man, but based on that criteria, could be selected in the Rule 5 draft. One is Kevin Parada, who at one point was a big catching prospect. We mentioned him a little bit last year as a candidate to be called up when the Mets were facing injuries behind the plate. And the other was a former fifth-round pick named DeAndre Smith. But they were able to protect Nick Morabito by adding him to the 40-man roster and by getting rid of Frankie Montas. So my final thought on Frankie Montas was, what a waste. You know, sometimes when the Mets make a move and we are all universally angry at the move, sometimes we turn out to be right. And in the case of the Frankie Montas disaster, we were all right and David Stearns was all wrong. So let's congratulate ourselves for that. Number two, there is a deadline coming up rather soon, the non-tender deadline. So that's when the Mets have to decide, and every team around baseball has to decide, if they want to tender guys a contract. That's actually only 3 days away. So I did want to spend some time on that today because the Mets have a few guys that you could argue they shouldn't tender. The deadline is officially November 21st, which if my math is correct, that would make it Friday? Yeah, I think so. Friday would be the deadline. And they have to make decisions by 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern time to formally tender a contract to anyone who is unsigned from the following season. So this involves guys who are eligible for arbitration or pre-arbitration eligible. So here are the candidates on the Mets. I'll give you the names and I will give you what they're projected to make in arbitration. So you have an idea of what the Mets could be saving. And we're going to play the game. In fact, Hoff, you tell me. I'm going to tell you the name. I'll tell you how much money they're going to make, and you say tender or non-tender. Now, keep in mind, if you non-tender the guy, you are saying goodbye. Now, you could re-sign them on a cheaper contract, but you're allowing that guy to be a free agent. If you tender them a contract, you can still trade them. Doesn't mean you can't trade them, but you still have control over them. To give you an example from our past, one of the more famous non-tenders by the New York Mets was Justin Turner. The Mets non-tendered him a contract. He became a free agent. Voila, the rest is history. All right?
You know who else was a famous non-tender?
Go ahead.
Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger. Was he non-tendered by the Dodgers? I thought he was.
He was non-tendered by the Dodgers, yeah.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Because he was so bad.
To just flat out free agency and have such a bad year where the Dodgers didn't re-sign him, he was actually non-tendered?
Yeah, he was so bad the couple years prior to them non-tendering him that they just said, screw it, we don't need to go through this anymore.
I believe you. I forgot about that, but I certainly believe you because he was so bad for a couple of years that it does make sense. All right, let's start with a guy that I'm telling you right now, I will come through this screen and punch you if you non-tender him. David Peterson, final year of arbitration, should make about $8 million this upcoming season. Tender or non-tender, David Peterson.
And where did you get these numbers from? The arbitration numbers?
It's projected that that's what they're going to make. So, okay. So it's AI. Not an exact science because obviously David can request this number. The Mets could request another number. They either agree to a deal or they actually go to the arbitration hearing. So these numbers are all projected numbers. Those projected numbers tend to be rather accurate, but yes, they are not official numbers. They're just the ballpark of what you're likely going to have to pay David Peterson.
Right. So I'm going to tender him.
Good. I'm glad. So the next guy I'm going to say, I have heard that there is considerations to non-tendering him. I think it would be a huge mistake. And that is Tyrone Taylor. And his contract would be at about $3.5 to $4 million. Tender or non-tender, Tyrone Taylor?
And how many open spaces do we have on the 40-man roster? I didn't ask that question.
Well, right now, none. But obviously, that's going to evolve as the offseason goes on.
Yeah, you're going to have to tender him at the moment.
Don't overthink that. Because, I mean, there are plenty of candidates to just simply be DFA'd. So it's not something you have to get nuts about. The bottom line is, do you want Tyrone Taylor on this team for $3.5 million? Your answer is yes.
As a fifth outfielder, yes.
Yeah. Keep in mind, like last year, not that we were doing this because it wasn't the Rico, but he is in the news. Trent Grisham accepted his qualifying offer from the New York Yankees for $22 million. Trent Grisham was a non-tender candidate a year ago. Like the Yankees strongly considered not tendering him a contract at about $6.5 million. They decided to tender him a contract. Turned out to be a pretty good decision. The guy went out and hit 34 home runs. Whether it was a good decision to give him a qualifying offer this year, that's for a different podcast. Tylor Megill at $2.6 million. Keep in mind, Tylor Megill, Tommy John surgery, out for the year.
And how many more years of arbitration do they have?
I'd have to double check on Tylor Megill. I think it's either one more year after this would be my guess.
I would tend to something of that nature. I still feel like he's useful if they could figure out a good role for him, even if it's out of the bullpen. So I'm going to tender him right now.
And I can confirm he's got this year and then one more year after that before he's a free agent. Yeah, sure. The only way I would non-tender Tylor Megill, because I wouldn't necessarily throw him to the side, is if I can bring him back on an even more friendly contract. We've seen that with guys who have Tommy John, where you bring him back on a 1+1. So something of that nature. So I'll leave that up to the finances of the Mets if they could pull that off. Francisco Alvarez at $2.4 million.
Tender.
Luis Torrens at $2.2 million.
Tender.
Reed Garrett, also Tommy John, right? I mean, my God, the Mets got ravaged by it. Garrett also will likely miss most of next year, if not all, $1.4 million. And just to give you the answer on how much more control they have over him, they would have three more years of control over Reed Garrett.
I want to non-tender him. I just don't feel like we need him anymore. I feel like it's just I know that you love him, but I mean, you could bring him back for a more reasonable contract, right?
Yeah, no, I would tender him a contract. The fact that he's got three more years of arbitration to me, I'd bring him back. Okay. Nick Madrigal. Remember Nick Madrigal?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he was there. I remember when he got picked up. And he's a arbitration eligible?
Yeah, he's about $1.35 million would be his projected number.
Screw it, tender him.
What?
Why not? Is he going to play? Last year he got hurt, right?
Yeah, he did get hurt last year.
Missed, okay.
So all gonna, of the year.
Okay. So you're going to, my thought process is you're going to trade some of these young kids. He may be a decent utility guy. We still haven't seen it yet, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I have enough infield options. I'd probably non-tender him. Waskar Brazaban at $1.3 million. Tender or non-tender?
I'm tendering him.
Absolutely. I mean, Brazaban was actually pretty good last year when we were going through our awards from the 2025 season. He got some decent grades. And then finally, Max Kranich, another guy who was injured with another major medical procedure. He's due $1 million. Would you bring back Max Kranich?
I would. I liked him. I thought he pitched well, but he just got hurt.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know if he can contribute much next year, so I'd probably go non-tender.
And
are the candidates, and the Mets have until Friday at 6 to make decisions on those players.
And he's arbitration eligible just one more year, or is it multiple for Kranich?
I think it's one more year for Max Kranich, if I'm not mistaken. All right, let's get to Jeff Passan. I'm going to read you some of the important things, the things that I think are worthy for all of us to discuss. And he gave a chock full of information with his big, I guess, free agency preview article. And I've said this before about Jeff. There are a lot of good baseball reporters. He's the best. He is. He's the guy who is the most reliable. When he says something, you listen. So let's start with Kyle Schwarber. We've talked about Kyle Schwarber as a potential big bat replacement for Pete Alonso. Here's what he says about Kyle Schwarber. And all of the names I'm going to bring up in some way are linked to the Mets. Like, the Mets will be mentioned in every one of these discussions. They're linked to almost everybody. So when it comes to Kyle Schwarber, Jeff writes, because of his production and leadership skills, Schwarber fits just about anywhere. The Boston Red Sox are still kicking themselves for letting him go after 2021. The New York Mets stealing him from Philadelphia would be a coup. The Toronto Blue Jays want a left-handed complement of Vlad Guerrero Jr. Cincinnati is 40 minutes south of where Schwarber grew up. The Detroit Tigers need some thump in their lineup. The contract offers are likely to bump Schwarber's average annual value to more than $30 million a year. And the winning team won't be getting a one-dimensional player. Schwarber has among the best plate discipline in the league. And beyond that, he has evolved tremendously. Left-handed relief pitchers used to carve him up. Coming into 2025 and 706 career plate appearances against them, he hit 20 home runs with a 664 OPS. In 143 plate appearances against lefty relievers this past season, Schwarber whacked 14 home runs, the most in a single season, by a hitter from either side with a 1,147 OPS. In all likelihood, Kyle Schwarber's signing will precede Kyle Tucker's because of his expected contract number and the associated 10-year-plus deal. Tucker offers will be more limited, but still plenty ripe. A couple of interesting things from that. You hear him link the Red Sox, a return to Philadelphia, the Mets, Toronto, Cincinnati, and Detroit. He also figures that the average annual is going to be over $30 million. So you're looking at financials that very, very much resemble Pete Alonso's. Now, how many years does he get? He doesn't really specify, just that the years may not be that long because of his age and the fact he's a designated hitter. But his line about the Mets stealing him from Philadelphia would be a coup. Well, it would be. It would damage the Philadelphia Phillies, but we go back to Alonso. Is there a world in which the Mets are signing both Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber? I think the answer to that is clearly no. Not just because they're both going to make $30 million a year, but because of the fact that they're both projecting to DH a lot. Kyle Schwarber all the time, Pete Alonso part of the time. So you hear that little link of the Mets. He doesn't say Schwarber's a backup plan, but at least that's how I'm interpreting it. Let's get to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is the premier free agent on the market. We haven't heard the Mets linked much to Kyle Tucker, but you're about to hear the Mets linked to Kyle Tucker. Though Kyle Tucker makes sense for the LA Dodgers, a team in need of a productive outfield bat, sources said their interest is more likely to be on a high-dollar, shorter-term deal. Top free agents, particularly those Tucker's age, 29 in January, rarely sacrifice years for dollars, making Los Angeles a longer shot. How about that? Tucker's desire to win, though, will be a guiding principle, keeping the New York Yankees and Mets, despite the presence of their MVP-caliber right fielders, Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, in the mix for the time being. In the mix for the time being. Like, I don't know how to take that, because I struggle to see how the Mets are going to make an 11-year offer to Kyle Tucker. Now, do they follow the Dodger lead and say, sure, we're going to make a high AAV 3 or 4 5-year deal to Tucker, in which he has a lot of opt-outs? I mean, if that's what you want to do, good luck, you're not getting him.
A message from McAfee. Wondering why the post office is texting you, or why you owe thousands of dollars in toll fees? Because someone's trying to scam you. The good news? McAfee can help. With McAfee's award-winning scam detection, it's easy to tell what's real and what's fake. Over text, in your inbox, and online. If they're
You want a free gift?
Seriously? If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
Now, Jeff Passing and say the winning is his guiding light. A 29-year-old in the prime of his career, even coming off of not the best season, is still going to go for the jugular. He's going to go for a 10-year deal. I don't see where this happens with the Mets. I don't. Now, later on, you'll hear about Brandon Nimmo. We talked a little bit about that on the last Rico, that the Mets are open to trading Brandon Nimmo, something that I still don't think is the greatest idea. Does that connect where if the Mets are able to move Brandon Nimmo and rid themselves of the final 5 years of that deal, does that make them more gung-ho to say, screw it, let's go get the better player? Kyle Tucker clearly is the better player. We'll go give him 11 years, 6 years more than what Brandon has remaining on his contract, and there's your left fielder, Kyle Tucker. I guess in theory, that would be what they would do, but I remain very skeptical that they're finding someone to take Brandon Nimmo's contract. Let's get to Bo Bichette. Teams haven't been scared off by Bichette at shortstop, according to sources. Beyond the Blue Jays, who have Andrés Giménez to play shortstop but could still conceivably sign Tucker and Bichette, the Atlanta Braves and Detroit Tigers have holes at the most important position on the infield. The Yankees could use an upgrade over Anthony Volpe and Jose Caballero. The Mets aren't inclined to replace Francisco Lindor at shortstop, but they do have room to improve at second and third, as do the Philadelphia Phillies.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I think that Bichette on one of those long, long contracts that he's probably getting, you know, a 6-year contract, an 8-year contract, a 9-year contract. Would the Mets do that and play him at second base or third base? We talked about that on our free agent deep dive. I think with so many of the infield options the Mets have, I'm skeptical that that's money well spent. Let's get to what Jeff Passan calls the Boris Three. The Boris Three are Alex Bregman, Pete Alonso, and Cody Bellinger. Beyond the Yankees, who would like a return engagement with Bellinger, though Trent Grisham accepting the qualifying offer would make for a crowded outfield with a Bellinger reunion, the Blue Jays are seen. The Blue Jays see him as perfectly good alternative to Kyle Tucker. We're talking about Bellinger. And the Dodgers, who non-tendered Bellinger, good call, Hoff, 3 years ago, have expressed interest as they pursue the outfield market. The Red Sox love Bregman, who opted out of the final 2 years of his $80 million of his contract and won't close the door on a reunion despite having Marcelo Meyer ready to play third base. Detroit and Chicago, which pursued him last winter but came up short, will also rejoin the fray, with Philadelphia lurking as it juggles multiple potential paths. No mention of the Mets when it comes to Cody Bellinger, which I thought was interesting. We have all kind of linked the Mets to Bellinger. We've heard other reports linking the Mets to Bellinger. At least in the case of this brief discussion on Bellinger and Bregman, the Mets aren't linked to either. What does that mean? Maybe not much. Pete Alonso's willingness to play the designated hitter spot offers the sorts of avenues a first base-only mindset wouldn't. He could stay with the Mets, move up to Boston, bring Cincinnati the big bat it desperately needs, or, if Ryan Mountcastle is traded or non-tendered, split the first base DH job in Baltimore. For all three, the expectation of a big dollar deal is high. How quickly those materialize will help shape the winter. It sure will, because if Pete Alonso's market moves quickly, which I hope it does, we could at least get resolution on it, and then we could find out, if they don't bring Pete back, where the pivot is. As far as starting pitching is concerned, Jeff writes, just how much money gets thrown around on Framber Valdez, Dylan Cease, and Tatsuya Imai, regarded as the frontline starters this winter, is the operative question. Considering the wide swath of teams prioritizing starting arms, the Mets, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Orioles, and the Blue Jays, they are all playing in the top of the market sandbox, with the Angels, Astros, A's, Giants lurking. A hefty payday awaits all three. How about some of those teams? The A's, even the Astros, paying big money. The Angels, which I'm not surprised about. They tend to spend money every once in a while. We've seen Artie Moreno do that. I still have a very tough time seeing the Mets pulling the trigger on Framber Valdez. It feels very contradictory to what David Stearns has done over the last couple of years. Based on David Stearns over the last few years, and I know the joke's right itself, well, he's not going to go after any starting pitcher. He's going to go bargain hunting on 1 or 2 year deals. But jokes aside, I think Tatsuya Imai is the guy they go after. Because Imai, and I guess this is the beauty of a guy coming over from Japan, there is that unknown, but that unknown could mean ace-like potential like we saw with Yamamoto, and he's relatively young. You know, Imai is 28 years old. So my guess is I still don't see them pursuing Valdez heavily. I could see Dylan Cease, but not on a 7 or 8 year contract if that's what he ends up with. But Imai seems to be the fit. Let's get open, because obviously that centers around the apple of all of our eyes, Edwin Diaz. The bullpen market starts with Edwin Diaz, arguably the best in the game. At 31, he might not get a repeat of the 5-year, $102 million deal he opted out of after the third season. but should wind up with at least 4 years, $80 million, even when saddled by a qualifying offer. The Mets want him back, but they might not want him as much as other teams or players. What does that mean? They may not want him as much as other teams. Okay. Maybe the Blue Jays or the Dodgers are just more desperate for Edwin Diaz. But what does that mean? Or players? Because he goes on to write, New York is in on Devin Williams, whose connection to those in the Mets organization, including baseball operations president David Stearns, date back to their time together in Milwaukee with the Brewers. Devin Williams is coming off one of the worst seasons of his career with the Yankees, but his peripheral numbers were excellent and his stuff is still graded out well above average. Williams has suitors from coast to coast, though the Mets are mulling the opportunity to sign Diaz and Williams to head up a bullpen in need of total restructuring. Okay, that last sentence is spine-tingling. I don't care what you think of Devin Williams or how nervous you may have been off of his 1 year in New York with the Yankees. If you're going to pair him up with Edwin Diaz, let's go. That was the fantasy last year. We talked, Hoff, you certainly did, about being aggressive in trading for Devin Williams from Milwaukee. A Diaz-Devin Williams tag team to go along with Rayleigh and Minter, who are already here, is very appealing. But that's the last part of the sentence. The first part of the paragraph was how other teams may value Edwin Diaz more. Devin Williams as an Edwin Diaz replacement scares the bejesus out of me. Devin Williams in conjunction with Edwin Diaz is fantastic.
My one question to you now, I didn't do the research on this, so I'm just being blind here with this question. I remember Sonny Gray had an issue with the way that the Yankees wanted to pitch him, like the pitches that they were trying to get out of him. I think Lance Lynn had a very similar situation. Maybe it just wasn't working. Now, listen, I can't tell you that that's all Devin Williams last year, because there was a lot of times he just pitched like crap. So a lot of it's on him. But maybe Devin Williams back in a comfort level with David Stearns, and he knows how Devin Williams pitches, maybe he turns it around. Not saying I want Edwin Diaz not to be here, but Devin Williams in a Mets uniform next year excites me, no matter what.
Yeah, I'm looking at pitch selection if you want to go by that. Last year, he threw his changeup about 52%, the airbender, the famous airbender, and the four-seamer, because he's really a two-pitch pitcher. That's pretty much it. It was about 52-47. The year before that, he threw his four-seamer more than his changeup. But then you go back to 23 and 22 and 21, and the airbender he threw about 60% of the time. So there isn't a noticeable change. I think with Devin Williams, there's a few factors here. Number one, there is an adjustment. He was traded to New York and immediately was asked, you know, go close games out. And it did not go well. And so he loses the job right out of the gate, gets demoted to the eighth inning, pitches better, then struggles again, then pitches better. It was a very up and down year. But I'll tell you something minor that I noticed about Devin Williams after the season ended that I found encouraging. It's going to sound so stupid, I promise you, but it's a small thing. And I was thinking it more in lines to the Yankees than I was the Mets. But obviously, the Mets are now being linked to him. He was at a Knicks game. And you may say, well, who cares? If this guy hated New York as much as we all thought he did during the season, he would have left town immediately and never looked back. Like, I don't think you're seeing Ryan Helsley at a Knicks game. So I thought that was like a small, minor thing that made me think to myself, you know what? Maybe we jumped to the conclusion that he hates New York. And it was literally just a guy in a contract year after being traded from the team he knew, the only team he knew, to the Yankees, and just struggling and just kind of dealing with the adjustment. Ultimately, he ended up pitching well down the stretch. Not game four. Gave up a big hit in game four after the Yankees miscues against Toronto. But I have more confidence that he can handle New York. I think it just goes back to the overriding issue we all have, which is replacing Edwin Diaz feels impossible. And Devin Williams, while good, is not Edwin Diaz. Just like Robert Suarez, while good, is not Edwin Diaz. So to me, Hoff, it's not even about thinking Devin Williams sucks or can't handle New York. It's It's more, I don't want to replace Edwin Diaz. Like, that loss is going to be really painful if they don't bring him back. And when Passan says the Mets want him back, but they may not want him as much as others, I need that to change. I need David Stearns and Steve Cohen to want him back as much as other teams want him, because replacing him is going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, this is my biggest issue so far with a lot of the things I've been hearing. We know Juan Soto, for example. When the Mets want somebody, they go get him. Edwin Diaz is a target that we've all said he is the hardest person to fill on this team. The Mets should want to just bring him back. It should be that simple. You just go out and get him. And I know it's going to be tougher because there's teams like the Dodgers and the Blue Jays and other teams that are going to be involved in looking for him, because he had a great season. But you have the money. You could be aggressive. Go freaking get him. Don't allow other teams to, you know, quote-unquote set the market. Just hey, Edwin Diaz, it's a great fit. Let's make it happen. End of story.
With Venmo Stash, a taco in one hand and ordering a ride in the other means you're stacking cash back. Nice. Get up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash on your favorite brands when you pay with your Venmo debit card. From takeout to ride shares, entertainment and more, pick a bundle with your go-tos and start earning cash back at those brands. Earn more cash when you do more with Stash. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stashterms.
Toast the holidays in a new way and raise a glass of rum chata. A delicious creamy blend of horchata with rum. Enjoy it over ice or in your coffee. Rum chata, your holiday cocktails just got sweeter. Tap or click the banner for more. Drink responsibly. Caribbean rum with real dairy cream, natural and artificial flavors. Alcohol 13.75% by volume, 27.5 proof. Copyright 2025 Agave Logo Brands, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. All rights reserved.
One last note about the bullpen. Jeff Passan writes, one closer who won't be returning to the Mets is Ryan Helsley. Though his implosion in New York after the trade deadline hasn't hindered his market, Helsley is the perfect example of the modern adage. Do not tell me what you did, tell me what you're projected to do. And Helsley, with his 100-mile-per-hour fastball and 90-mile-per-hour slider, blowing up stuffed models, is going to get paid for it. Coming off a typical year, he'd be looking at $80 million plus. To get him in the range of $40 million to $50 million feels like a bargain to teams. Yeah, that is why when we were going over Met free agents a few weeks ago, if you go into the archives of the Rico, I was not against bringing Helsley back and giving it a try. But the reason they're not going to be able to bring him back is that he's going to get paid. And the Mets, in good conscience, can't pay him after how bad he was in New York, because there is that risk he can't pitch here. And it's not worth the $50 million gamble. If he was coming back on a one-year deal, I'll take that gamble. I'll take any gamble on a one-year deal. But because, as Passan writes, he's going to get paid a lot, it's a gamble the Mets can't take.
Do you think the Yankees would look for him?
No.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
If you could, okay.
No. No.
So no New York team got it. All right.
Go. I'm going to go with no on that. Here's what Jeff writes about Tarik Skubal. Whatever decision the Tigers make, it's not easy. Only a handful of teams have the prospect depth and urgency to pull off such a deal. The Dodgers clearly fall into that category, though their rotation is so good already that they're focusing their energy on outfielders and relievers. The Mets would be perfect, particularly seeing as owner Steve Cohen wouldn't blink at giving out the largest contract ever for a pitcher. The Red Sox pairing Skubal with Garrett Crochet at the top of their rotation would give them two of the three best pitchers in baseball. The Orioles fit the bill, though with young big leaguers rather than prospects. The Cubs could scrape together enough, but it would gut their system. The Yankees have the upper-level pitching depth Detroit lacks. The Mariners have the players, but not the desire, even if Skubal did go to the University of Seattle. And while the Brewers could easily put together perhaps the most suitable package, they're typically the ones who trade impending free agents, not acquiring them at a 150% premium. In the end, the Tigers' decision will be informed by the markets that surround it. If teams can upgrade with a player who is 75% of Skubal at 50% the price, they will. Until that is no longer an option, teams simply won't bend over backwards to overpay, regardless of how appetizing a rotation helmed by the aces of aces would be. Anyway, they've got plenty of other options. Yeah, that goes back to a point I made early in this offseason, which is that you're going to have to make a monster offer. Now, Jeff writes why teams won't, because if they feel they can get Freddy Peralta for 50% of the price, do you do that instead? If you just sign a free agent, do you do that instead? But Skubal's the best, and the Tigers are not in a position where they have to trade him. They could. You could argue they should. But they won't do it until they get a package that they deem worthy of doing it, which is why when I put together my fake Skubal trade a while ago, which if you're just tuning in, a first-time recor, it was Francisco Alvarez, David Peterson, either Jett Williams or Carson Benj, and either Brandon Sproat or Jonah Tong, which seems like a lot. I'm giving them a combination of major leaguers, guys that can help them right now, plus high-level prospects who are very close. I get why you don't want to make the deal, but the more you read about Detroit's situation, the more you realize they don't have to do it. And if they don't have to do it, they're going to need a huge return. So let's get to the Mets are blowing up plenty line, the headline of today's Rico Brilliant. Quote, the Mets are blowing up plenty. It's not just Luis Angel Acuna or Mark Vientos or Brett Beatty. Center fielder Brandon Nimmo, first of all, not a center fielder, left fielder, but okay, Jeff. Center fielder Brandon Nimmo, who has a full no-trade protection, and utility man Jeff McNeil can also be had. Kodai Senga, he's extremely available, and multiple executives expect him to be traded this winter as the Mets look to overhaul their rotation. So let's start with Senga. To me, that's the obvious. I've said this for a while. I think the actions speak louder than words. The Mets' actions at the end of this season and the way they did not want to recall Kodai Senga, despite all of the rotation issues that they had, despite what they even said about Kodai Senga, they're going to trade him. Now, the second thing is, do I want to trade him? I still believe in Kodai Senga. You know, I still believe, especially with the amount of money he makes, which is not a lot, that he can be a damn good pitcher. We saw it last year. In the first half of the year, he was one of the better pitchers in baseball. So are you doing this to clear money and then reinvest the money elsewhere? I know we watch the Mets owned by Steve Cohen and think there are no budgets. There are budgets. You want to be fiscally responsible. So number one, the question would be, and this is why all trades are not created equal. I'm not going to blindly say I want to trade that player unless I just think getting rid of them is addition by subtraction. I don't think that's the case with Kodai Senga. You never have enough pitching. I've seen him pitch well enough before. I don't want to give him away unless you're telling me I'm reinvesting the money in this player or that player. Number two, okay, what am I getting for him? Jeff Passan writes, multiple executives expect him to be traded. I assume he has value. He doesn't make that much money. It's not a terrible contract, especially when you look at what other starters make. What am I getting back? With that said, that's my opinion. What is obvious if you open your eyes is that the Mets are going to trade Kodai Senga. As far as the Mets are blowing up plenty, I have zero issue at all with the Mets listening. Zero. When you come off a year that they just came off of, it is malpractice if you're not listening. I'm not here to tell you that Brandon Nimmo cannot be traded. What I said last time on the Rico, and I'll say it again, we talked a little bit about on the Fan, is that I don't see Brandon Nimmo having a robust market. I don't see it. I don't see even teams willing to absorb the contract. He's 33 years old. He's got 5 years left on his deal. And while he's still a productive player and a top eight left fielder, I think the return, first of all, there is no return. We're not talking about a return. We're talking about the Mets deciding to just kick in money to make a productive player go away. I don't see it. Jeff McNeil is very different because he has 1 year left on his contract. So logic would tell you there is a market for Jeff McNeil. It's only 1 year left. He can play left field, can play second base, can play right field, can play a little first base. I think there's a value. So listening on Jeff McNeil, they should. I expect him to be traded. And I think the Mets will get, I'm not saying a huge return, they'll get something back. But now let's get to the other guys, Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty, Luis Angel Acuña. Again, all trades aren't created equal. What are we talking about? What's the return? Is Brett Beatty the central piece of a trade to Miami for Sandy Alcantara? Okay, let's have a conversation. So the Mets should be listening. They should be willing to, quote, blow up plenty. But blowing up, I think, is a misuse of the word because I would think if you're blowing up, it means you are like, I got to get rid of these guys. I don't think the Mets should have to get rid of these guys. Now, with that said, one of our loyal listeners, Dan, is not a Brandon Nimmo fan. So he writes to me, when you start talking about Nimmo's numbers, don't forget these. And so he sent me a couple of numbers, and I'm going to read them. And Hoff is going to, you know, enjoy it because they're all negative Brandon Nimmo numbers. But fair. I have no problem reading numbers that are negative if they're fair. Most players left in scoring position this year. Brandon Nimmo was fourth in baseball. You know who number one in baseball was? It wasn't a Met, but it's Mets adjacent, if you will. Anthony Volpe was actually number one. The second stat Dan sends me, Brandon Nimmo hit 167 with four hits and two RBIs in six games in the 2024 NLCS. Okay. Brandon Nimmo had a 426 OPS in the 2024 NLCS. In the 2024 postseason, Brandon hit 220 with one home run and six RBIs and a 608 OPS. Brandon Nimmo is batting 238 with 8 home runs and 25 RBIs in 50 games against the Braves on the road in his career. Brandon Nimmo had an OPS of 621 in September of 2025. Brandon Nimmo had a batting average of 167, 2 hits in 3 games between the dates September 26, 2025 and September 28, 2025 with an OPS of 397. I get the point, Dan. Brandon Nimmo contributed to the Met collapse, and he did. How about the Washington game? That at-bat was the most important at-bat of the season. That Saturday night against the Nationals when he struck out with the bases loaded. So here's my retort. It's not even a defense. It's just a retort. Number one, I still think you have to look at the whole sample size of him. And there are very few left fielders in Major League Baseball that are better. That's just the reality. And there are very few left fielders in baseball that are readily available that are better. That's number one. Number two, as far as those bad numbers are concerned, do you think Brandon Nimmo can't handle the big moment? Is that why those numbers are sent? Because he didn't play well in the postseason last year. It was also he had a terrible second half. Was that connected to the clutch or was that the physical issues he was dealing with? I'm going to lead with that. I don't think Brandon Nimmo can't handle the big moment. The same thing with his struggles down the stretch this season. I don't think it's connected to he doesn't have the clutch gene, as some may say. The other thing is, and I think I was proven right about this with Starling Marte, I really believe that if Starling Marte DH'd a lot, the Mets would see more production from him. I thought that was the case this past year. It's why I didn't want to trade him. It's why when, had a big spring training, who's the guy who ended up in Pittsburgh? Alexander Canario. The name popped in my head. Yeah, guys, remember that, you OG Ricoers, when we were arguing about Alexander Canario making the team over Starling Marte? I thought that in a role in which Marte would DH more and not be an everyday player, he'd be productive. I think he was. So I'm going to view this with Brandon Nimmo, which is why I want Pete Alonso back and why I want Cody Bellinger on this team as a, I can play numerous positions at a high level. Brandon Nimmo should DH half the season. And if you want to say Pete Alonso should DH half the season, great. That adds up to a full season, right? If that's your predominant of the time, predominantly, I think I'm using it correctly. I don't know. Whatever. You get the point. Designated hitter. Let Bellinger play half the games at first base, Pete DHs. Let Bellinger play half the time in left field, Nimmo DHs. Or however you want to add it up. My point is, even if it's not Bellinger, even if it's not Pete Alonso, no matter where this turns out, I think Brandon Nimmo playing left field, which I thought defensively he did an okay job of last year, combined with DHing more, will actually keep him healthy and productive. But remember, replacing players are not easy. The reason I am so gung-ho about trading Jeff McNeil is I like my options on the guys that are going to replace him. It's Ronnie Mauricio. It's Luis Angel Acuña if he's not traded. It's Jet Williams. I want another note from Jeff Passan about Freddie Peralta. Now that Brandon Woodruff accepted the qualifying offer, executives with interest in acquiring Peralta believe it drastically increases the chances of moving him. If Woodruff had hit free agency, Peralta almost certainly would have stayed. Now Milwaukee has more flexibility to see how much it can rep for a frontline starter with an ultra-cheap $8 million salary. I wonder if Peralta keeps him in the National League because, again, the Brewers are trying to compete while they do this. So that's number one. We saw them trade Corbin Burns to Baltimore. And if we compare the Baltimore return to what happened, I have a Jeff Passan breaking news that I can tell you about. The Baltimore Orioles are acquiring Taylor Ward, the outfielder, who had a pretty productive year last year, and Grayson Rodriguez is going to the Angels. So that's an interesting trade. I like that. Now we're heating up. Grayson Rodriguez, the once top prospect of the Baltimore Orioles, goes to Anaheim, where they improve their pitching. And Taylor Ward, who I think hit over 30 home runs this past year, I'll pull up his numbers in a second, but didn't hit for a high average and struck out a lot, goes to Baltimore. What does that mean for us? I think it could potentially mean that the Angels will need to acquire one less starting pitcher, and they are going after starters, as Passan reported in his big article. And number two, does Taylor Ward keep them away from Pete? Because that's a right-handed slugger they just added. So I would actually lean towards maybe the Orioles are less interested in Pete Alonso now that they brought in Taylor Ward, who, yes, 36 home runs career high, 103 RBIs career high, did strike out 175 times, OPS of 792. He's got one more year of control before he gets to free agency.
Two things. I know that Angels are looking for a first baseman, so that may ramp up their finances towards.
And now they want they need pop because they just traded a guy with 36 home runs away. So absolutely, right. It probably lessens the Orioles, but increases the Angels.
My question is though, what's the Orioles rotation? Because Grayson Rodriguez, I know he didn't pitch last year. Was he recovering from Tommy John? Was that what it was?
Yeah, he was banged up last year. Yeah.
Yeah, but his numbers were okay. But like, who's in their rotation?
They don't. I don't care. We're not doing the David Segui. So
sorry,
I don't really care.
I was interested on that one. Well, it affects the free agency.
I genuinely am sometimes, but I'm just thinking about the net impact of it. And my gut reaction is the impact is the Orioles are less likely today to sign Pete Alonso, and the Angels maybe are more likely to sign Pete Alonso because they removed a bat, a slugging bat. Let me read an email or two, the ricob@gmail.com. The case for trading Brandon Nimmo from a Brandon Nimmo lover. How about that? It's from Alexander. Alexander writes, I don't particularly like the idea of trading Nimmo because he's my favorite player, and as you've stated, one of the better left fielders in baseball. However, I think I understand why Stearns is shopping him. Number one, I do think to some extent Stearns would like the opportunity to shape this team's future his own way, and that's why he would prefer to move on from some players from the past administrations. Getting rid of Nimmo's contract would give him a lot of flexibility to do so. I'm going to attack each one. Number one, I hate the idea of a general manager feeling they need to put their imprint on a team. I don't even believe that's the case, but just to that point. Number two, I am skeptical that someone's taking the contract. That's my point. I don't believe that. He's 33. Like, Sean Morris tried to call me out on it, and I appreciate it because I want to explain this if it sounds like a contradiction. Sean on the air is like, Evan, you're contradicting yourself. In one breath, you're saying he's a productive player. He's one of the best eight left fielders in baseball. But in the next breath, you're saying no one will take his contract. See, I don't think that's a contradiction. If you hear that, I understand it. He's a productive player who no one wants the contract of. There's a lot of players like that. Like, Giancarlo Stanton is still a productive player for the New York Yankees. Is anyone going to want his contract? I was looking at Manny Machado's contract the other day. The idea that the Padres ownership may sell. Who would they trade Manny Machado? Who would want that contract? He's going to basically be making $40 million a year until he's 40. Doesn't mean he isn't good. Doesn't mean he isn't productive. But who would want that contract? So I'll continue Alexander's email, but I just disagree with notion number one, that someone is going to take his contract. Number two, he wants to move Juan Soto to left field. This is the point I really agree with. I think Soto is quite frankly too slow to play right field in City. I got very frustrated throughout the season when balls that off the bat, I thought had a chance to get caught, landed 30 feet in front of Soto. I know you don't fully agree, but I agree with what I assume David Stearns thinks, which is that Soto was a liability in right. I think he would fare far better in left, similarly to how he fared much better in right at Yankee Stadium. Sooner or later, this change has to happen, and I don't think he believes Nimmo is productive enough to be a quality DH. I think he'd be an okay option there, but you really lose a lot of his value as a two-way left fielder since those are hard to come by. I do agree with that point about Soto, to the point where a year ago, after they signed Juan Soto, I remember talking about that here on the Rico, about flip-flopping Brandon Nimmo and Juan Soto left to right. The negative being Brandon Nimmo's arm, which is obvious. I totally get it. He does not have an adequate arm for right field. But based on what you're talking about the ground to cover in right field. So I definitely agree with that. But I don't think that's enough to trade a productive player, which A, I'm skeptical anyone's taking the contract of, and B, I'm getting enough back. Last point from Alex, regardless, I still would not trade him unless I got something back, which, like you mentioned, is unlikely, or maybe if someone took the whole contract back. Let me know your thoughts. My thoughts, Alex, go back to the skepticism of the 2 points, which is getting something back and someone taking his contract, which I am skeptical is going to happen. So I'm not mad that they're shopping him by any stretch of the imagination. You need to be open about it. I just don't see this going anywhere, which is why I make this prediction to you on the Rico Bronya, recorded Tuesday, November 18th. They're not trading Brandon Nimmo. Will they trade Brandon Nimmo in 2 years? Maybe. I don't know. You can't predict that. But in terms of right now, I say no. You can email us your thoughts, thericob@gmail.com, thericob@gmail.com. Coming up in the next day or so, we'll have another new edition of the Rico Bronya, maybe reacting to breaking news, who knows, but doing a deep dive on the reliever market of free agency, which can be frustrating because I was going through my notes yesterday, going through all the relievers, and my brain keeps going to Edwin Diaz replacements. That's not necessarily what we're doing. Some of them may be Edwin Diaz replacements, but some of them may just be additions to a bullpen that could use a couple of arms. So that's coming up in a couple of days on the Rico Bronya. Also, continue to send me your Rico rewatchable ideas. Those are the old games we watch during a long offseason. I'm leaning towards a win and a loss. So a game from Met history that you think would be fun to rewatch in the Rico rewatchables, you could email us, thericob@gmail.com. We appreciate you downloading and subscribing. Make sure you do download and subscribe to The Rico because you never know when there'll be a brand new edition of The Rico. Thank you very much for listening to Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Rico Bronya Podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencias. Selección varía por lugar.